This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hi, Nick.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Wow!
Oh, boy. We're starting already, huh?
It's going to be an episode.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
As Luther Campbell once said, face down, ass up. That's the way I like to...
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. There's an X-Files trailer?
Have you seen that yet?
No.
Boulder is looking all of 85.
Oh, my God. Yes. Well, he looked old as crap last season.
Yeah, something happened.
My God. Maybe he got abducted by aliens.
Even my wife was like, what happened to Gillian Anderson?
Oh, she looks super hot. Wait, does she look old too?
My wife was like, is she losing all of her hair?
What?
I guess it just looks real thin. I don't know. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Dude, how old is Gillian Anderson? She's got to be in her 50s, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Dude, she looks hot for 50s. I don't want to
hear it. She's all right. You like the young ladies with the fire.
All right, she's 49. She looks great for 49.
Yeah. She was born a little bit before me. Look at her.
She looks better now than she did when that show was coming out.
Yeah, she looks good. I don't know if this is just my wife saying it, dude.
Well, you know.
My wife, when she gave me the review of Justice League, I don't know when you want to go into this.
Oh, but when, are we starting when there?
I don't know, but I'm gonna share you a little wife story with you. Why? Do you have somewhere to go?
No, I have nowhere to go.
Are you gonna pull up the hassock? Put your feet up on the comfy couch. Come on, pull up the hassock.
Oh, my whole ass is on the comfy couch. Continue.
My wife, after the film, she was giving me her, and it was one of those times where I just shut up as a dumb comic book geek and just like, well, let me just ask you questions. Like, I'm not going to correct anything you say. I'm not going to add in. I'm not going to... I just let the rambling begin.
Mm.
And she told me a lot about the Machine Man.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was talking about the cyber guy. And then the, you know, that ocean dude. It was, I just let her, like, go ahead, just roll with that. Once I said, you mean Cyborg? And she goes, yeah. So, like, I liked Cyber. I thought he was really good, and he was probably the second best.
I love the Cyber.
Yeah, and she was just, like, going on, and just like, well, I'm like, well, how would you rank him? And then she gave me a ranking of where she would put the members of the Justice League, and then I also...
Wait, is that what we're talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, and then, well, she was... the point is, she was calling, like, everybody by the wrong name, which was great.
Yeah.
But then I had her rank, like, oh, where would you rank the Justice League? You know, acting and, like, you know, just character-wise. And she went through her list, and then I'm like, well, where would you put, you know, and then I went to the, like, secondary characters. And she was like, oh, no, Amy Adams, she's the best. Oh, no, Diane Lane, way up there. And then it goes Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
Amy Adams,
mm-hmm.
Diane Lane,
mm-hmm.
Cyber Guy. And then everyone else just fell off.
Your wife just loves the cyber.
I know. I was just like, so Ben Affleck? And she goes, I don't know what was going on with him. He's like, I understand he works out. He has muscles. But there was something weird and puffy about his face. He must either be drinking or steroids or something. His face was way too puffy.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that too.
And then she goes, Superman, I liked him more than Batman. But he was hardly on screen. So how am I supposed to judge? And this is a woman who didn't even see Batman versus Superman or the other Superman film.
Shame on her.
So this is the first, like, she got Superman... Out of three films, she saw him on screen for about 6 minutes from this film.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have much to judge, but she liked it better than Batman. She liked The Flash, but she thought the television version of Flash was much better.
Of course.
But The Flash can go some. He possibly could get better. And then she said, "What? Oh, and then the ocean dude, he's in last place.
Ocean dude.
He's in last place." And I'm like, What, you didn't? He had his shirt off the entire movie. You didn't like that? Yeah, but he was too big. He was like a big old gorilla, and he just, ugh, horrible acting. And she was just, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I'm just listening. I'm just, uh-huh.
Oh, you know
that's good.
You know what that means, Nick. Welcome to the Nerdy Legion Podcast, the flagship podcast of the Nerdy Legion Network. Yes, it's true. We have brand new episode for you, listener. And by you, I mean Michael Myers. It's Christmas week, but it doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't take time off. Even though
it's technically the week before Christmas.
Listen, don't break the fourth wall, okay?
Sorry. But I appreciate Mike Myers downloading our podcast 10,000 times.
10,000 times. 10,000.
He puts it on all of his 8-tracks. He puts it on both sides of his cassette tapes. I appreciate it.
You know, I think all the listeners could take some hints from Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They should all be downloading this podcast multiple times on all their devices. Oh, my God. Yep. 21,000 downloads this week? Wow.
Can you imagine how many times he's gone from all of these devices and gave us 5-star reviews on all the sites?
Oh, my God. We would be number one on Apple Podcasts if that were the case.
Yeah. Move over, Chris Hardwick.
I mean, geez. Good on you, Michael Myers. The rest of you listening, shame on you.
Slackers.
Be more like Michael Myers.
Yes.
God.
What would... Just think to yourself, what would Michael Myers do?
WWMMD.
Yep.
Is that the episode title?
Sure, yeah. Ring the bell.
Yeah.
And just to steal something from Michael Myers, what are we doing right now?
I don't know.
You know.
I don't know. Say it. Dude, I don't know anytime we do anything what we're doing.
Say it. Scream it at Heather like Mike does to Barbara.
Recording a podcast?
Doing the Lord's work.
Oh! Yes, that's what we're doing.
Little baby Jesus can thank us later.
Dear sweet pound. Oh, wow. What did I just...
I don't know what that was.
Dear sweet 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. How does the rest of that go? Did you see that movie? I love that movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Talladega Nights?
Never saw it.
Shut up.
No, never saw it.
You've never seen Talladega Nights?
No.
All right, let me tell you. I am not a fan of, what's his name? Will Ferrell. Not a fan.
Okay.
But Talladega Nights is freaking... The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Yes.
Ricky Bobby! God, I love that movie. I might have to watch. All right, we're canceling this podcast so I can watch Talladega Nights.
All right, that
the
was
The Ballad
a
of Ricky Bobby. Hey, happy Kwanzaa. Merry Hanukkah. See you next year.
Bye.
Bye. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that.
No.
We have a lot to talk about now.
Oh, so much. Where do we start?
So much.
The Netflix original concert/documentary that I watched. Barbara Streisand.
Will Smith's new movie, Bright.
I saw the trailer when I went to go see a movie tonight of Bright. And
really?
I sort of want to see that. That
in
looks
theaters?
Like Indian. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and then it came up, it was like, out today on Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, it came out today.
Yeah, it looks like Alien Nation. I thought it was a remake of it.
But it's orcs. It's Alien Nation with orcs.
It reminded me of Alien Nation,
dude,
which isn't a bad thing.
Let me tell you, I went online this morning. Mm-hmm. I was on the Twitter machine.
Yeah.
Okay, I was I was swimming through the pipes of the interwebs. And there was a tweet about how Bright is the worst movie of 2017. Like,
no.
Like right below the Emoji Movie.
Really?
That's what it said.
Sons of...
Here's the thing, though. Let me tell you. Because this came up, and this is relating to our topic, right? So you have the Google Doc pulled up. You know what our topic is.
Yeah.
So...
Darn it.
Brian Reaver...
No, I just looked at the Metascore. Son of a... we if anything at Nerdy, we go counterculture.
Look,
people say
we don't give a shit.
You know what's bad? We're like, we don't care. We got to go watch that.
Oh,
we got to go read that.
You think it's terrible? We love it.
we're going to go check that out. And we might not like it just because everybody else hates it.
No.
But we go in with open heart, open arms.
Mm-hmm. Up in buttholes, even.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to wink a little bit.
That's right.
But when you get a Metascore of 28.
Mm!
Oh.
Wow, is that bad?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And it's written by Max Landis, too.
Mm.
Dang it.
That's bad.
But I hate to, like, even us being the counterculture wonders that we are, I don't know if I can, you know, that go, this is going back to the old GIF. I ain't got time for that. This bully boy can find somewhere else to put his 2 hours.
Look, here's the thing, though.
Oh, can I just give you a little tangent that I know now you'll be inspired to watch this?
Of course.
Do you know who directed it?
Yeah, I saw it in the tweet that I saw this morning, but I can't remember now.
David Ayer.
Yeah, what was that he did? What's the movie?
Do you know what he wrote?
No.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, Suicide Squad, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Who's the director, though, of Bright?
David Ayer.
Oh, he directed it. And then who's the
writer?
Who wrote it? Did you say Max Landis wrote it?
Yeah, I said Max Landis.
If Max Landis wrote it, it can't be bad.
It can't be, right?
No. Fuck no.
And I'm telling you, that trailer that I saw, the entire time when I'm watching it, I kept thinking, this is Alien Nation. This is Alien Nation. And the more and more I watched, I got more and more excited. And then right at the end, it was like, available today, only on Netflix. And I looked over at my wife, I'm like, oh my God, Will Smith has a movie on Netflix exclusive. I'm like, I gotta go back and watch that.
Mm. Dude, you know, Netflix spent $90 million on that movie.
But wouldn't you rather like them to take a gamble on a Will Smith movie than on that little package that they did for, what's his name? Not Rob Schneider.
Oh, Sandler.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. God,
awful.
But I understand he has a built-in audience, so you're going for that, but... Wow, is that going to move the needle for anyone other than Adam Sandler's accountant and him?
Like, yeah. That's the built-in audience is people who love shitty movies.
Yeah, that is just I'll risk on Bright because I like Joel Edgerton.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to like Max Landis is a good writer.
He is.
I'm talking myself into seeing this now.
Have you watched Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency?
What is that?
It's a TV show. I can't remember what channel it's on, but Max Landis writes it.
That's got to be premium, right?
Damn it! What channel is that on?
Oh, I just pulled it up.
Look, pull it up. You got to pull it up. What channel is it on?
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, that's it. What channel is it on? Does it tell you?
Oh, it doesn't give me that.
Dang it.
Oh, BBC America.
Okay, that makes sense. I think it's streaming somewhere, though. Like, you can get the first season. Probably on Netflix, I assume. Anyways, he wrote that. It's really fucking good, dude. It's funny as hell. It's weird and quirky. Anyway, Max Landis.
You know,
awesome.
Can I also give you a writer, another writer, who did the same amount of episodes as Max Landis on Dirk Gently? But how you missed this is beyond me. But... A person that another writer who did the same amount of episodes, Douglas Adams.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Dirk Gently?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I'm looking at it right now. 18 episodes.
No.
He died in 2017.
He's dead?
Wait, he died 2011.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Then how do you write the show?
Hey, who knows? Maybe he did a treatment for it? I don't know.
Oh, no, I know what it is. He wrote the original series.
There you go. Yeah, because it's based on blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the original series came out in 2010.
Which, hey, if you're even using that as source material, I'm sort of into that. I might have... This is something I should be watching.
Dude, you should be watching this.
And guess where it's on streaming?
Amazon Prime.
Thank you.
Booyah! Ring the bell.
Oh my gosh, I am so on this now. Thank you, sir. But back to the original point.
What was the point?
Max Landis is a damn good writer.
Yeah, he is.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
All right. You know what? I think I might dedicate myself over the holidays. I might be watching this Will Smith movie.
You know what it is? So what I heard is the problem with the movie is Will Smith.
Why? He's being too Will Smith?
Like, he's being super boring.
Really?
Hey, I gotta do a Max Landis plug before we continue. Did you read Green Valley?
That sounds really familiar.
It's an Image book. It starts off as like a medieval like knights saving this town thing, but it turns.
No.
Oh, you've never read Green Valley?
I know the concept.
Oh my god, you need to read it.
I want to read that.
All right, you need to. Well, all right, we're gonna cancel this podcast right now. Podcast is canceled.
Goodbye.
You need to go read Green Valley. It is so good.
All right, I will.
It's a 9-issue. It's not a mini. What would you call that? A maxi? A maxi sure. pad? It's a yeah. 9-issue maxi pad. I think Image put it out. It's so good.
Well, then my question to you is, why is the only company on God's green earth, Image, why don't they have a holiday sale on Comixology?
Well, because they're money-grubbing bastards.
And I just go and pick it up right now.
But no, it's really good. It's 9 issues. And it starts off as a medieval like knights saving this town thing. And then it turns into like this funky-ass time travel story.
I like that.
And holy shit. It is so Max Landis. So
you mean it goes places?
Oh, it goes some places. Yeah, definitely pick that up. Is there a sale? Wait, let me see if there's a sale. Well, that's kind of a sale. You can get the whole series for how much off is that? Like 20%? It's $18 for the whole series.
20%? That's nothing.
It's nothing. But listen.
It's not like the 80% sale that DC's having right now.
Look, write your local congressman, okay?
I'm going to start an old-fashioned letter-writing campaign. I don't care. Doing it.
Oh, old Max Landis. All right, anyways, what were we talking about? Bright? Yes, Bright. God, we've been recording for like 19 minutes. And we've already had like 23 topics.
Yeah, do you need me to send this off to the Podcasting Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Podcasting Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Flagship episode.
The Grabby Award Committee, right?
Sure.
Okay. Mario Batali.
Oh my God. He's got the sweet Crocs.
Yeah. Josh Ritter. Ugh. Gotta send it out to everyone, right?
Can we enter some podcasting awards next year?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, which one do you want to enter? The food and wine? Category? Where are we going?
I mean, I think that's the most fair, right? Like, I mean, we do talk about a lot of food and drink here.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know what you're drinking tonight, but I'm drinking. It's not wine, but it is red berry vodka.
Yeah, you are.
Which is my new jam. I've been drinking red berry vodka for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, so let's get in there. Alton Brown, we're coming for you. Get rid of your podcast. We're taking it over.
Hey, since we've done like 167,432 episodes, does that make us a legacy podcast?
Oh, God. You know what we need? We need a rebirth. Welcome, everybody, to the Comfy Couch. This is episode 1 of season 2 of Nerdy Legion.
Oh, my God. Are we starting that already?
Hello.
Wait, warn me.
Are we going to jump? Are you jumping on this train or are you getting off this train?
Wait, I just want to know why this was not in the Google Doc.
Do I have to tickle your ass with a feather? Get on this train.
All right.
It's leaving the station. It's season 2, episode 1, Nerdy Legion, Comfy Couch.
Boom!
You know why? You know how you know it's the second season, listener? Take a look at what we're on. That's right. The Comfy Couch has been reupholstered.
So damn it, Nick, now I have to go and put season 2 on here.
Yep. Sorry, get into the Google Doc. Not my problem, your problem.
Does that matter? If I go on iTunes, does it tell me season numbers?
Yes!
Does it?
You have to have EP1.
S2E1.
Yes.
God damn it, Ronnie.
You also want to know why, listeners? You also want to know why this is season two?
Continue.
Are we gonna be more efficient in what we have to tell everyone?
Nope.
Are we gonna be bringing up better topics this season?
Nope.
Are we gonna be raising our SEO juice this season?
Fuck yeah.
Everything's supposed to answer with no.
Oh, nope.
Are we not gonna be winning 2018 Grabby Award?
Can't guarantee that.
I think we have a pretty good shot, Pally.
I agree.
Right.
Number one flagship podcast. We have to. It's like a shoo-in.
All right. I will agree with number one flagship podcast if you say number one flagship podcast of season two.
Number one flagship podcast of season two, episode one of this, the Nerd Legion podcast.
Yes. We are number one of the Nerdy Legion Network season two podcasts. We're number one.
Wait, what if everybody else decides to do new seasons?
Don't listener, don't ask us how many other shows have gone to season two on the Nerdy Legion. That answer is none. We're the only dum-dums that go back to episode one. You know why? Rebirth did it. You know why? We don't need no legacy number. Because you know what we're going to do? When season three hits, we might go back to legacy number.
Oh, snap.
So pull out your calculator, people, because that's what we're doing.
I mean, let's, lick, we got to be frank with the audience.
Did you just say lick?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's very vodka's kicking in.
What? Oh, buddy. Think about it.
If I hear that toilet flush,
Bart, oh, no.
I'm driving my ass over there and hanging you with Christmas lights.
All right. No, there will be no ass flushing. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you.
But I will say this.
This is lick approved.
This is what you call hashtag SEO juice.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know this, but iTunes gives you higher ranking when you have multiple episodes in a week. And since we're now renumbering, we're back to episode one. So I'm going to split this one episode up into 18 segments.
Oh, God. Ooh, that's ugly. Oh, that's so ugly.
So now we're going to have 18 episodes of season two in the first week.
Will season two bring less out of order sequences?
No.
Yeah. No. What can they expect with season two of Nerdy Legion?
The same bullshit from season one.
Correct. Yes. We're bringing back, we, as a participant, as a co-host, my vow to you, listener, is our bell will become more prominent in every episode. Thank you.
God, I gotta figure out a way to get my soundboard working so you can hear it.
Oh, I would love to hear like the duck squack. That's what I'd like to hear.
All right, you know what I need to do? I'm gonna order a mixer.
Ooh.
So that way I can do some 8-track magic.
And so
you,
I can
and
be
you
like,
can hear my soundboard.
Terminator X!
Yes. Because I can do the soundboard and I'll hear it. The listener will hear it. But you won't hear it. And if you don't hear it, it's not fun.
Oh. Well, that's true. We can't play.
We can't. Exactly.
This is always a free space to play in.
It is a free space to play in. And we can't play if you can't hear it.
Yeah, it's half the fun.
Shame on you, Discord.
Oh, Discord. Darn it. Let's develop our own recording app.
Well, it's better than Skype, at least.
True. But hey, when we come up with our new recording app, the Ferretti 5000, we are going to be rolling in that cash, bitches.
No, that's not big enough. It's got to be like a 8000. Wasn't that like the thing back in the 80s? Like everything was 8000 or 9000?
And it never went up by like one or two. It was always like another thousand.
It's got to be at least 100, right? Well, no, right. No, yeah. Wait, you're right.
Right now
no,
it's beta.
Right now it's beta. But you're right. In the 80s, it was always by 1,000. Because like when the Terminator came out, he was the T-1000.
Mm-hmm.
What was HAL? HAL was 800. Is that right?
HAL 5,000?
5,000. Oh my God. He went up by 5,000. And he was the first one.
He was.
God, can you imagine a HAL 10,000?
Oh, forget about it. He'd be taking over that space station.
He would. There was a sequel to that movie, wasn't there?
Yeah, 2010.
Did I watch that? I didn't watch that. Was that good?
What? Yeah, it's all right.
Did I watch that? I don't think I watched that.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
The first one
was
really good.
It wasn't directed by Kubrick, so you weren't missing
much. Oh, yeah, fuck that then.
Yeah.
Fuck that. It's okay. Aliens are coming now.
Boy, if only we were recording another podcast while we're talking about all this TV and film.
What do you mean? Dude, we record the only podcast that matters, this one.
That's true. That's true. Yeah,
the flagship podcast. Flagship podcast.
Oh, man. I thought there was going to be a beatbox right there. I thought I was going to get a Fat Boys beatbox right there.
You want me to beatbox?
Yeah.
All right. Ramps.
I thought you were going to see, for me, the beatbox, you could do all the that type of stuff. But the classic beatbox interpretation, which I would love to hear if you have one, is the...
Oh. Is that good? Is that what you wanted?
That was perfect.
Is that what we've become, Nick?
What? About beatbox podcast?
See, we get season 2.
Yeah.
This is episode what, like 3,800?
Well, it would be 4,000.
Oh.
Because it's past 3,000, so of course it's 4,000.
Oh, well, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, and we're old school, so we gotta add an extra 1,000.
Yeah.
All right. We get to episode 5,000,
and
this is what we've become. We've resorted to beatboxing on this podcast.
I don't know if it's resorting. I think we've evolved. You know, hey, riddle me this already. What other podcast do you listen to that does beatboxing?
None of them.
Because we're the originator.
Regulators! Oh, what has happened to the show, Nick?
I don't know, but I love it.
Do you remember, like, 8,300 episodes ago?
Ugh.
When we used to be on the ball.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, we actually had a Google Doc that we shared with everybody.
Yeah.
And there was, like, an outline of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the episodes made sense.
Yeah, we used to reach out to each other. Hey, what do you want to do?
Yeah, what do you guys want to talk about this week?
Yeah.
And everybody had ideas. Yeah. And nobody listened. Do you remember that?
Right. You want to go back to that? Because no. We can if you want.
Well, we can't do that. We're flagship now. We have to, like, continue with whatever this is.
Okay. All right. Let it evolve, though, naturally.
We just have to, you know, not naturally. I mean, sometimes you got to push evolution along. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Are we like the high evolutionary?
We're like the high evolutionary of podcasts.
Ooh, are we going to have like talking cows that are up on two legs?
No, we can't do that. I mean, if we had video, we would definitely do that.
Remember when that was part of the lore?
No.
You don't remember that?
No. What?
You seriously don't remember that? That was part of, like, I think a Scarlet Witch and Vision story.
What? We're like, oh, yes!
Yeah. And it was the high evolutionary, like, evolved this cow that became, like, a maid and, like, a mother hen to, like, these babies. And it turned out that one of the babies was Scarlet Witch.
Are you sure you're not thinking of I Hate Astronauts?
Did you ever
read that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My God. That fucking book is hilarious. Is that still out?
I want to say yes.
Surely not. All right, let me tell you.
Good stuff.
This podcast is not really the high evolutionary of podcast.
No?
Let's be real. This podcast is more like the I Hate Astronauts of podcasts.
Ooh, I like that. I'll take that.
Oh,
does that mean we're headed towards an Eisner soon?
Well, I mean, we already won a Grab-Ass Award.
That's true. Moving on up.
So surely.
Yep.
Oh, my God, I found it. Bova Ayrshire.
Yeah!
The old woman on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
I might be drunk, but I ain't that drunk, son.
What in the holy fuck?
When a cow is dressed up in human clothes, standing on two legs, and then babysits or, like, takes in a baby, and then gives it away, takes it down into a village so that the baby can be adopted, and it turns out to be, I could swear it was Scarlet Witch. That sort of gets burned, a flashback gets burned into your head a little bit.
Oh, here you go. So Bova was Magda Linscher's midwife. And Magda is Magneto's ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who is the mother of Pietro, a.k.a. Quicksilver, and Wanda, a.k.a. the Scarlet Witch. Oh, my God. This is genius. I need to read this right now. What issue is this in?
Buddy, you just go find every instance of High Evolutionary and just read that stuff. It's some of the trippiest stuff out there. It's so fun.
Who wrote this book? Oh, my God. I can't even find that. Why is that not on here? Surely that's not it. Giant Size Avengers number 1. That's the first appearance of Bova. Who wrote that? Surely that was... Oh, my God. No. Len Wein was the editor-in-chief. Roy Thomas. Of course Roy Thomas wrote that.
Of course.
Of course he wrote that. 5'9", 220 pounds. Brown hair, brown eyes. I love, like, the amount of details that nerds go into in this, like, Wikipedia entries. Well, it's not Wikipedia. What is this? The Marvel database on Wikia.com. Nerds.
But yet, do you think when I put into Google, when I type into Google, Drax the Destroyer saxophone, you think any of the nerds would have been able to go into Infinity Watch and get me out those images of Drax, dumb Drax, playing a GD saxophone? No. Because every time these people are like, Drax the Destroyer, he's so badass, I'm like, all I want to do is find those, like, and there might have only been 3 panels that they ever showed him, like, I have one burned into my head that he's, like, sitting down, and I want to say it's, like, cross-legged, sitting down, playing a saxophone with a dumbass look on his face. And I just want to be like, this is your drill. He's not Conan. Get out of here.
Oh, Nick. You know what's funny about that? I may have just tweeted that out to you.
No! I just want to be like, that's Drax as Kennedy. That's all that is.
# Nick Wetmore, this is your Drax.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's much better than Pip the Troll.
Pip the Troll.
That's it.
That is it.
That is it.
I know.
Oh, my God. Look at that big, dumb look on his face, and he's, like, larger than the Hulk.
God,
oh, my God.
It's awful.
Oh. Horrible.
Oh, my God. That is so bad. Well, I mean, if he's bored, what's he going to do?
Right. Why not? Bored and dumb-like.
He's going to play the saxophone.
Yeah.
Do you think they play the saxophone on his planet?
I don't know.
I mean, surely not.
Maybe that's what we should be striving for. The high evolution.
Playing the saxophone?
Too big. Let's be the Kenny G Drax the Destroyer of the Nerdy Legion Network.
Dude, that's got to be the episode title. Kenny G Drax Destroyer.
And you said you didn't want to go after more SEO juice. You know what's gold SEO juice?
Oh?
Referencing Kenny G.
Look, there's a difference, though. I think when you go after # SEO juice, you want to make sure that the juice that you're drinking actually relates to the conversation you're having.
True.
Because we don't want people who love Kenny G to listen to this podcast.
Or do we?
They might start a petition to cancel us.
What?
It's true.
Okay. So now we do have to use the Kenny G Drax the Destroyer saxophone.
Oh, you better believe it.
Because I have a Kenny G story.
Oh.
While working at a record store, I developed a love for jazz. Not Kenny G jazz. Not 80s jazz, not 70s jazz. I was a strict, like, blue period, pretty much from, like, 55 to about 63, 64.
Okay.
Before it hit free jazz. And I was linked to it pretty much nonstop for the sake of this story, I would say 6 years, 7 years. And my entire family knew I was into jazz at this point. Well, one day my dad comes into the record store and he goes, "Nick, you like jazz, right?" "Yeah." And he goes, "I just heard on the radio this song called Songbird."
Mm.
"And it was amazing. Who does it?" And of course, at this point, Songbird was out for, 6 months. So my dad's a little slow on the get up. Kenny G's Songbird sold millions upon millions. Like, it was the earworm for 6 months, especially if you worked at a record store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just god awful. And he's like, "Where is this?" So I found him the cassette tape. He bought it, of course. And he just fell in love. Like, that was his jazz. And he would listen to it, and then he'd be like, "This is the best jazz." And I'm like, "Dad, that isn't jazz." And we would have this discussion where I'm trying to explain what jazz is to him, and he's just like, no, this is jazz music. And I'm like, no, that is not jazz music. That is commercialized jazz. No. And we just went back and forth, and to the point where Kenny G would come into town and he'd be like, "Any chance you want to go see Kenny G?" And I would be like, "Absolutely not." Knowing that I'm not letting, I'm not taking my dad to the one and only jazz show that he would ever want to go see, other than Spyro Gyra.
Kenny G, fuck your couch.
Oh my God, it was terrible. I'm like, horrible.
Oh man. Poor Kenny G.
No, not poor Kenny G. He made tons of money off that. Kidding me?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That guy was set for life.
Plus, now he's featured in an episode of the Nerd Legion.
Yeah.
There's that.
We got some SEO juice from that guy.
Kenny G, comma, Drax Saxophone Destroyer.
Yeah. That's it.
Hashtag SEO juice.
Oh.
Hashtag, what are the other hashtags we learned about? I don't remember.
What, mom shorts, boy jeans?
Hashtag mom shorts, hashtag disruption, hashtag fuck your cops. I don't know.
Pablo Picasso, pistachio.
Pablo, what is it? Paleo Pueblo Pistachio.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm so glad that episode's going to finally come out next week.
Oh my God, it's so gold.
It's been burning my hard drive for a month now.
Ugh, that's so funny.
It's magic. Speaking of magical, you know what we should talk about?
What?
We should talk about you finally going to see the greatest superhero film of all time.
What?
Hello? Testing, okay. Testing.
I have things I have to ask you, Martin.
Yes.
So give me, because I don't think I've ever heard your review on this film, even though you went to go see it about 126 times.
I did.
But you never ever gave your review. And as we all know, Legionnaires, that when Martin doesn't give a review of something, that usually means it's cock-a-pooey.
Well, let me correct you.
What?
So usually, if I don't give my review, that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
However, let's remember, I saw this movie 4 times.
Mm.
So the reason I didn't give my review is not because it was cock-a-pooey. It's because I just didn't have time to put it in a podcast.
Ah, likely story.
So now that you've seen the greatest film of 2017, Justice League.
Is that what you're going to go with?
We're going to talk about it.
Is that what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
Okay, that isn't hyperbole, just for the show fact.
I mean, maybe a little hyperbole. Okay. But however,
yeah,
I will prove to you why it's much better than I seem to think you think it is. Fair enough.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can read into whatever you want to read into.
I mean,
I'm dying to hear.
It seems pretty obvious to me from your thoughts so far.
Well, how are you in my thoughts? Get out of my thoughts.
Well, because, you know, it's what happened.
I want to know where your stance is on this.
All right, so
give me your elevator review.
I'm going to give you my 20-second pitch.
Okay.
All right, so Justice League is not the best movie of all time, even though I said it was. It is also not the best movie of the year, even though I said it was.
Mm-hmm.
However, Nick, it is a very fun movie that has issues, but that I very much enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only enjoyed, but maybe even cried a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my 20-second pitch.
Mm-hmm.
How about you give me your 20-second pitch?
Okay. All of Martin's points, Legionnaire, they're all wrong. He's incorrect on every one of them. Unless I'm mistaken, Judge Dredd did not come out this year.
You need to clarify, not the Stallone Judge Dredd.
No, the good one. Everybody knows the Carl Urban one.
Yes, the Carl Urban one. Continue.
It's awesome. Where was I? Oh, yes. Martin, every point you said was incorrect. You need to go wash your eye holes out and go watch that movie again.
But I did.
I think you need to do it one more time.
Four times.
Five's the lucky number.
Okay.
With you. It was, I'll agree, it wasn't the best movie out the year, but it was damn close.
Wow.
Ask me. See, that's why you think I'm going to poo-poo? I'm swerving right now.
Wow.
You're incorrect on all of your points. It was thoroughly entertaining. What movie...
Wait, I said that!
No, you're wrong. Listen to me. Put the raspberry vodka down.
Red berry vodka down.
Ask me what movie this year, if this wasn't the best movie of the year. Well, then ask me which movie this year made Nick cry three times.
Answer? Ooh, three times.
Answer?
Wait, before you answer, before you answer.
No, I'm
answering. No. Wait, don't answer.
Answer?
Because I also cried three times.
Answer?
Continue.
No.
Oh, snap.
Is it a perfect movie? Absolutely not.
Nope.
Is it even better than Batman versus Superman?
I don't know. It's close.
It's debatable. I wouldn't have cried three times if I did not have Batman versus. But it's debatable because I possibly might have a man crush on Superman.
Oh my.
And I did not get enough of Superman in this film.
I'm going to ask
you. And that's why Batman versus Superman might beat this one out. There wasn't enough Superman. Everything, every freaking second, every frame that Superman and Lois were on, it was captivating. I fell more and more in love with their relationship. As both of us said when we both watched that trailer, that we thought it was a whole dream sequence, I have to give Zack Snyder freaking all the credit in the world. Every bit, at least to my knowledge, every bit of the late trailers, every bit of that footage was in that film. And he twisted everything. Instead of filming stuff for red herring's sake, he twisted the tone of everything to make you think something different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think he's a good director, what the hell's wrong with you?
Shame on you.
Because he made everything look like a dream sequence. He made everything... He put out all of those trailers, and then he put one out with Superman, and you thought, oh, good God, like, he's not going to be there. And there were so many, like, misconnections, but yet he didn't do it in a way that was, like, making any of the fanboys feel like, wow, you just cheated me out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike a lot of superhero films now do. And it's very frustrating when they do that. And I'm telling you, every bit of the Amy Adams... honest to God, I cried three times. And even my wife, at the end, she looked over and she's like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, before the two end credit scenes, and Legionnaires, we're going to be spoiling the crap out of this. Sorry, but...
I mean, it's been out for like a month, right?
This movie's been out for a month and a half, so, you know, buckle up, Buttercup. Like, if you're waiting for the DVD, do what I did, and I did this with DC Absolute. I just held on to their podcast when they were talking about Justice League. I don't want to listen to spoilers, because this movie is worth not having it spoiled.
Well, you know what I did? I traveled to the future And I watched the movie in UHD 4K Blu-ray DVD Laserdisc format. And then I went back to my own timeline and listened to the podcast.
Smart.
And that's what they should do here. Before you continue, did you enjoy this better than BVS?
It inspired me to want to go back and watch the Cavill Superman
movie. That was my next question. If you had
where Batman versus Superman did not mingle back in.
If you had to rank Men of Steel, BVS, and Justice League.
Oh, come on.
How would you rank these three movies?
Because
I've got an answer, but I'm not going to give it to you until you answer.
And I appreciate it. You know my misgivings with Batman versus Superman.
I do.
That film should have been, the last third of the film should have been cut out, or they should have made it into two films. That was ridiculous.
All right, wait, before you continue, did you watch the theatrical release?
I've only watched the theatrical
release. Okay, that's the problem.
Yeah, but whatever. That's what came out in theaters.
Sure.
I'm not going to be judging Justice League on their extended version that they're going to be offering in a year. I'm not going to, no, you put out something in the, it was very strange. Both of the most current films had villains that were 100% CGI.
Yes.
I could care less about Doomsday, but I liked the first time of everything with Batman versus Superman. If I was to compare this superhero team to other superhero team movies, I liked this gathering of the heroes.
I'm going to reel you back in. You're not answering the question.
No. I'm getting there. But I liked how these superheroes all came together. And they all had distinct voices. And I did not like Aquaman until the very last action scene, like the scene right before the last action.
Ooh, I disagree with you, but we can talk about that.
I thought all of his jokes were just falling flat. I thought Ben Affleck was adding his deadpan comedy to a lot of their scenes. But when I saw like the excitement and the passion and like you saw Aquaman in the last third of the film, or at least how I read Aquaman, like him just like I expect Aquaman to be almost laughing while he's battling people, like just passionate and excited. And that's a lot of fun. The last third of the film was really fun with him. I thought it was the best Flash I've ever seen, period. And actually, I won't even say that. The best Stir I've seen on film.
You're avoiding the question, Nick.
No. I'm breaking down what I liked about Justice League.
Nope. That's not the question.
Oh, I know the question, but I'm going to get to it. But what I want with Flash, like, I get that everything's moving in slow motion, but the kinetic lightning, that's where like Quicksilver and all the other speedsters, that's where they are lacking. And I thought their expression of speed was fantastic. But to answer your question, I'm going to judge it by what movie would I watch over and over and over again. And I am a very bright and sunny person. So mood wise, I would be watching Justice League, Batman versus Superman, then Superman.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because I don't mind crying. And that Superman scene was still, that was so powerful. I was thrilled that I could see it on the big screen, and I would have been really, really upset with me if it was on the small screen for the first time. Because the emotion in his face alone, with the when he's recognizing Lois before he flies off.
Mm-hmm.
That was so freaking powerful.
So I'm going to go a little slightly bit off from you. I'm going to place Justice League at the top, and then Man of Steel, and then BVS.
I haven't watched, like I said, I haven't watched Man of Steel since it was in the theater. So that is the one movie that I feel like out of every superhero film, I should be going back and rewatching.
I just saw that they're putting out a new version of it.
Ooh, maybe I'll wait for that then.
Because Jim Lee is doing a cover for it for the DVD or the Blu-ray release.
I might just wait for that.
What's it called? The Steelcase Edition.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means.
But I really liked where they took that character.
Which character?
And to be honest, Superman. And okay. To be honest with you, like, that dream for Zack Snyder to pull that off in a trailer and then what actually happened on screen, dude, that so took me back. That just really, really profoundly affected me. Because I was really expecting a dumb dream scene. But then when all of a sudden, like...
You're talking about Clark and Lois in at the farm?
Yes.
That scene? Yes.
And in the trailer, where in the first 25 minutes, like one of the first scenes you see of Lois is her reaching over and touching the bed.
Mm.
And then it was edited into that trailer. I'm like, God, I mean, that was just a masterful trailer.
Yeah.
Holy Christ. But I mean, I liked the Magog, whatever. I liked the villain. He was fine.
that's so funny. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I would put Doomsday up there too. Like both of them, I have them too. I could care less. That's why Batman versus Superman, like, you know what? At least there was Lex Luthor. And if you think back to all the Lex scenes, those were really good.
Well, I mean, you got some Lex Luthor in this movie.
Yeah, but don't. Come on. You didn't.
Well, but you did.
Not like Batman versus Superman. Like, there was no... The only part with the villain that you got in this film was the stereotypical yelling of the big villain. Like, oh, God bless.
All right, so let's talk about the villain. Do you think that Steppenwolf was the best choice for this?
Oh, he was interchangeable with... You could have interchanged five DC villains in that. Like, the big hulking character villain, like... He could have been interchangeable. It could have been Doomsday back there. It's ugh.
So here's what I think the problem is. I think this is the main problem with the movie. And it's not necessarily Steppenwolf. Even though there's issues with Steppenwolf, right? So the CGI for Steppenwolf is not the best. There's a lot of issues with the way that Steppenwolf is brought into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, all right, so think about it. He pretty much like teleports in. Wherever the mother boxes are, right?
Right.
And he just, like, disappears. But there's, like, a couple scenes where, like, why doesn't he just, like, teleport in and grab the mother box and disappear? Like, if that's his ability, he could easily do that.
Yep.
But even through
At first, I thought that teleport was mother box.
Right.
Opening up a portal and him going through it.
Yeah.
And then when I realized, oh, that's his ability, then that was my problem with him.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're getting at.
But
I
so
was like, wait, so this isn't Mother Box? I'm like, oh, okay.
But I don't think that's the ultimate problem with it. Because even though CGI isn't the best, I think in terms of the character design, he looked fairly close to the comic book. Not quite the same, but like he was recognizable, right? But I think the problem is, they try to bring in the New God stuff and the Apocalypse stuff
mm-hmm.
without any sort of background on why any of that would matter. You see what I'm saying? So like,
my thing with, and I will agree, but my thing is, if you're going to bring in New Gods, why not just bring in Darkseid?
Why like, not just bring Darkseid?
Are you just, and at first I'm like, oh, well, obviously, he'll probably be in the sequel. Or at this point, film 3, because Batman versus Superman technically was the first one.
And yeah, but
this one is playing off of it.
I don't think
but
that's
it's
it.
Like, but I hate to say it, after watching the two post-credit scenes, I'm like, if they bring in effing Darkseid when Luthor's building a team, check, please. I'm done. Like, no. Like, that is... I want to see a villain team. I don't want to see a villain team. Oh, and then here's another villain group. Oh, yeah, there's Darkseid with all of his minions, and they're all against... Guess what? They're all against the hero. Like, I don't want to... That's what, like, the old... Like, the previous Spider-Man films,
mm-hmm.
that's what drove me crazy with them. Oh, now here's two villains against him. Oh, now here's three villains against him. Oh, now... Like, no. Like... the post-credit scene with Luther and Deathstroke, like, you know what made that cool? Luther was going to build his own team.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Darkseid, he is so much powerful than everyone else. Like, how could that, like, I don't want to see that. Like, you had your chance, but you went with Steppenwolf. You could have went with Magog. You could have went with, you know, let's name off 10 other characters that DC has that battle Superman left and right. Like, you could have went with all of these different characters, but you didn't. All
right, since you brought up Magog, I would have much rather seen Magog over Steppenwolf. With that said, I think Steppenwolf was an interesting choice. I'm not sure why that's the choice that was made. Because if
there... if you didn't read the comics, wouldn't you, just by the talk in the film alone, like my dad would have looked over at me and he would have been like, is he the messenger for this dark side?
Do you think that's what your dad would have said?
But he addresses it.
He does.
Like he says that line, even though it was a throwaway line. That's why I was like, okay, so they're going to beat up on Steppenwolf. But then at the end, when Superman comes in, Darkseid's gonna be here. That's what I was half expecting.
Mm.
But it was Steppenwolf all the way. That's why it's like, it's just like Doomsday. Like, I'm not tethered to either of those characters. You need to have a big bad. I get it.
Yeah, but he's not a big... Steppenwolf is not a big bad.
Well, they made it that way.
Well, they tried to make him that way.
Yeah, they did.
But they failed. And I think what the problem is because Marvel's doing the Infinity War stuff with Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe DC was a little worried that having Darkseid in this movie maybe would have been too similar to Thanos.
Oh, I would agree with that, yeah.
But here's the thing. If they had done it properly, this would have beat Marvel to that Thanos thing.
Oh, for sure.
Right. But if they had done it properly. And I think the problem is the way the story was told, there wasn't enough time to bring bring Darkseid into the story. Right. Because they could have easily had Steppenwolf come in and get the mother boxes for Darkseid.
Yeah. That's what I thought was happening.
And then have Darkseid pop up. Right. And made this a multi-part movie. But that's the problem. This would have had to be a two-part movie. There's no way they could introduce the Flash and Cyborg and Steppenwolf and Darkseid mm-hmm. all in one movie.
Hey, I told you before the movie was even released, there's no way Superman's coming back. He might be resurrected the last 2 minutes of the film.
And that, I mean, it wasn't quite that, but it was that.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it was kind of that.
But every minute that he was on screen, Mama Lucian, I was crying.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I wonder if that wouldn't have made more sense for them to do it that way, make it a two-part movie.
I think you were right. I think they were racing, and they also didn't want Marvel to come out with their big bad.
Well, because
then all you're going to do is get more comparison.
Right.
Because there was a hell of a lot more comedy in this film than Batman versus Superman.
Well, and I think Darkseid is different enough from Thanos. Where for people that know the characters, you would know the difference. But like if you're just an average moviegoer, then maybe it would get confusing. But again, you would be the first one out with this thing.
I would if it's a two-parter, you wouldn't be.
Even if it's a two-parter, you still have like a 6-month lead, right? Because you're putting out this movie out with Darkseid in it 6 months before you get Infinity War.
See, I thought you were talking Steppenwolf leads up to the resurrection
of Superman. No.
And then that's where that film ends, and then you have to wait 2 more years or a year to get, and here is, you know, here's Darkseid.
No, this movie could have been a two-parter, and then it would have ended, so Steppenwolf gets all the mother boxes, and unites the mother boxes for Darkseid, and then Darkseid pops in, and that's where the movie ends.
So it's like a little 2-second teaser.
It's like a teaser, and you have like, you know, Superman going up against Darkseid, or like, you know, whatever, one of those team assembled type things.
That's not the film we got. We can conjecture all we want.
Well, and the thing is, I don't think the post credit scenes would have made sense if that's the film we got either.
No, but I did look over at my wife after those post credit scenes, And I said, that's how you do a post-credit scene. Mm. Not heroes sitting around ordering shawarma. That's it. Right there.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. I've got to go use the bathroom.
Oh, golly.
This vodka's going through me, man. I got to pee. Hang on.
Oh, God.
I'm back.
What are you, in the death cabin? It's that creaky door.
Oh, yeah. That's the door that goes out to the deck.
Oh.
Yeah.
It ain't cold on the deck?
No, my desk is next to the door.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I went out there for a second to get something and came back.
You know how fanboys love to conjecture?
I don't know what you're talking about.
About their properties?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I want from this film?
What's that?
I love me some White Stripes. I love Icky Thump.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite White Stripes songs. You know what I don't need in my Justice League film? I like it in the trailer. Fantastic. Icky Thump, number one. You know what I don't need in my Justice League? Icky Thump. You know what I do need in my Justice League film?
More Icky Thump?
No, not at all. Get out of here. Drunk. You know what I need more of in my Justice League film? More music by Danny Elfman.
Oh, God, yeah.
Why do you have any modern music in that when you have Danny Elfman scoring that soundtrack? Jiminy Christmas. Horrible.
I don't know about horrible.
I don't need that rock and roll music. I want orchestral scores in my films. I like it. I just like it. Especially Danny Elfman. He's so good.
Well,
and his version of the Wonder Woman theme during the...
Oh my band, God, yes.
That was so different, but just as cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Was that bank scene. Matter of fact, Nick, I know you talked about crying earlier on.
Oh, yes.
So there were three scenes that I legitimately teared, and there was a fourth that I was pretty close to. So I'm going to give you my scenes, and then you tell me what your scenes were. So the first time I teared up was in that bank scene, because we get this whole thing of like the hostage situation and whatever. And Wonder Woman's fighting these, like, whatever they are, robber Nazi types. And I was excited at first, but then she says something like, oh God, what is it? Damn it, now I can't remember. You would think I would have seen this more than one time. But she says something like, oh God, it's something about heroes. And whatever it was that she said, like, it brought a tear to my eye, because, like, the way that the line was delivered, it gave me that feeling that, like, these are the heroes that I've been reading about in the comics, and now we see them in movies, and they mean something, right? Because I don't want to poo-poo on Marvel movies, but if I do, send your hate mail to @WhosPaul. But I think the Marvel movies have taken a very different stance on how to do a superhero film. And it's not about the darkness or the lightness, but there's been more comedy. And yes, there's comedy in this movie, but it felt different, right? Because I feel that DC heroes are more iconic than a lot of the Marvel heroes are. And that's not the case for all the Marvel heroes, but at least the ones that we've seen in film, it seems that way, right? So, like, the Iron Man movies have a lot of humor because Tony Stark's kind of a douchebag, and that's kind of, you know, the way he's written, and that's the way the movie comes out. Obviously, the Guardians movies are that way. The Cat movies were more serious because that character's a little bit more serious. I would say Cap is probably the closest to what the DC superhero movies are than anything else that Marvel does. But there's a line that Wonder Woman delivers after she takes down all the henchmen, and there's that freaking awesome montage scene. Like, there's a super cool fight scene, and then all you have is Wonder Woman and the hostages and the main bad guy, the main robber. And he's about to start shooting all the hostages and kill them. And she does that, like, super, like, you know, swinging her shield and whatever and, like, stopping all the bullets from hitting the hostages. And yep. she delivers a line, and I can't remember what the line is. But there was something special about what she said. Because it really showed you that Wonder Woman isn't just, like, a typical hero, right?
Yeah,
like,
she's confused with him just wanting to, like, see the world burn.
Sure. But whatever the line was that she delivered, it struck me in a special place, because it was like I was seeing, like, real heroes brought to the screen. And there was another part of the movie that was kind of the same as that one particular scene. After the end, after Steppenwolf is defeated, and I believe, is it Wonder Woman or Batman that does the monologue at the end?
I thought it was Batman.
Yeah, it is Batman, right? Okay. But the gist of it is pretty much the same, because he's going through, like, all these, like, ways that that heroes affect the people that they touch, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that scene, like, where they're panning through, like, the cityscape in Gotham, and you almost get this feeling, like, it's something that I felt when I was reading Kingdom Come, where you feel like everything that happens to these people matter, not just to them, but to you, where like, you're part of the story, kind of, right? And I think that's what Justice League did really successfully over Marvel movies, is that you feel like you're part of the story. And it may not be, like, cinematographically, like, I don't know, as precise, or, like, I don't even know how to describe it, man. But, like, there's something about the way that last couple of lines are delivered in the movie that really make you feel like the world is a dark place, but because these people are in your world, it doesn't need to be that way. And there's hope for you to come out of the darkness. And to me, like, that's one reason that I read comics, right? Like, it's an escapism thing. So, like, our friends make fun of me sometimes because I don't like reading the slice of life books. I think, like, the one that's been brought up recently is Jeff Lemire's Royal City, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, in terms of that, like, they talk about Essex County, which is kind of the same thing. I don't care to read the slice of life thing, because if that's what I wanted in my comics, I could just go outside and, you know, drive down the street a couple miles and like, watch crackheads smoke crack or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
I don't care for that. Like, if that's what I wanted, there's that stuff in real life. But the reason I read comics is to get away from that stuff and have a feeling that there's always going to be hope for something better.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like DC characters generally give me that sense of hope over what Marvel has done. And in particular with the movies. And I know that in many respects, the DC movies have been darker. Men of Steel was very dark, and BVS was very dark. Mm-hmm. This is not so much, right? Like, there's a lot of humor, there's a lot of lightheartedness. Even the way the film is shot. Obviously, you can kind of tell the Zack Snyder parts, which are much darker than the other stuff.
Could you?
Yeah, I could.
Because I even asked the wife at the end, I'm like, I wonder what Joss Whedon filmed.
No, I think there's some very obvious places that were, well, Snyder, that's some good. That were very obviously Joss Whedon. But in terms of the heroes, like, I think it's pretty obvious that like, these are heroes that mean something. And that meant a lot to me. One was that Wonder Woman scene. One was that end scene before the credits, where, like, you really got that feel. It was like, the reason I love reading Astro City is that same exact thing. Like, it gives you that, like, that wonderment and sense of hope that, like, Golden Age comics have.
Yeah.
Where they're lighter, but you can tell who the good guys and the bad guys are. and you root for the good guys because they give you a sense of hope. And then the other scene that I teared up in was right after Lois shows up. And
what part?
Well, so
because she shows up way before Superman ever showed up.
Well, so Superman when he's brought back to life and he fights the Justice League right after that scene.
Yeah.
When he's about to take down the whole Justice League and Batman's like bring in like the secret weapon or whatever it is that he does.
Bring in the big gun.
Yeah, bring in the big gun. And the car pulls up and Lois comes out of the car and she's kind of distraught and
like, but that wasn't her first scene.
Yes, it wasn't her first scene. But the first one that really mattered to me.
So the talk with Ma Kent didn't matter to you?
So the talk with Ma Kent was sad, but it didn't hit me as much as when Lois came out.
That was my first scene that I cried during.
Because so the thing is,
because it was the sadness on her face, and then to see Diane Lane like ever, I would in your head. This is going back to your point. You want comics to be better,
right?
And in turn, and I think we've discussed this before. Peter Parker gave me my moral compass. And it was never a "what would Jesus do" moment. Mm. It is a Peter Parker would never do that. That's something that he wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always say, like, comics make in my head, and that's why I love comics so much. In my head, it is a reflection of society. And when comics are the best thing in your life, it makes you want to reflect the values that they're showing you.
Absolutely.
And when I look, that's why Diane Lane does not get a lot of credit, but her subtle acting is what you want every mother in that position to be like. She could have went along with that pity party that Lois wanted to have for herself, but instead she switched on the mom role and brought in Clark. Always thought this of you. He can see further, but he knows you can find that story faster than he ever could.
But see, to me,
and like, but like, that is just like, is that realistic? Possibly not. Do you always want mothers to be that way? Absolutely. And whether that's quote unquote realistic. Well, guess what? People are flying. So nothing is realistic.
Yeah, good point.
It's an idealized version of society in the universe. But Diane Lane is so subtle in that moment. And that's one of those things. That's why when Lois first sees, one of the first scenes, when she sees Clark out in the field, out in the cornfield, which is so freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, while you were gone, I wasn't strong. And it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like I'm getting goosebumps and like ready to cry right now. Just think like, and, but then like you see Clark doing what Diane Lane does and he stops thinking about what I'm sure he has a million and one questions. And when his wife needs him the most, it was just like a reassurance hug as well as like reassuring her, like, I didn't need you to be strong. Like, it's okay that you weren't strong.
Mm.
And it was all said with, like, nothing. Like, no overblown dialogue. Like, if that was Joss Whedon, holy Christ, Joss Whedon. If that was Zack Snyder, he does not get enough credit for, like, just showing emotions.
Well, I'm going to agree with that. I don't think Zack Snyder gets nearly enough credit for what he does.
Everyone just thinks he does 300. And it's like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, I think everyone's just so focused on, like, the dark cinematography that he tries to do.
Yeah.
That they just completely skip out on the actual storytelling of why he uses that style of cinematography.
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing with you on the Martha part. But I think by that point, I was in such an emotional roller coaster that for me, that wasn't as intense that maybe it was for you. Because for me, that whole thing started when Lois steps out of the cop car and Clark and Superman sees her, right?
Oh God!
Because like we see Lois in a couple places in the film before Superman comes back to life,
mm-hmm.
and like she's in the shitter, dude. Right? Like she's not writing anything for the newspaper. Like she just pretty much shows up to work and hangs out and drinks coffee.
Yeah, she even admits, I'm just writing fluff right now.
Yeah, like, she doesn't care, right? And it's understandable, no. right? Like, if your wife passed away like that, or if my wife passed away like that, I would be pretty shitty, too.
I need to take a moment.
Yeah. But, like...
Which is okay.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, she didn't even take enough of a moment, to be honest, right? Because, like, I'd probably just take a leave of absence from work.
Yeah.
Like, she's still going to work. Granted, she's not doing anything, but she's still going to work.
Oh. But that moment outside that cop car. God.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So you get, so Clark or Superman comes back to life with this whole, like, weird, complicated thing that they do, in the hopes that they can get him to join their side. But of course, like, it's a little overwhelming, understandably, for Superman.
Yeah.
And he sees everybody as the enemy. And, partly, to be honest, a lot of the reason for that is Batman, right? Because the last thing he remembers is everything that happened in BVS, and then he fights Doomsday and he gets killed, and that's the end of that. So, with him coming back to life and the first thing he sees is Batman, like, he's kind of pissed. And to be honest, I love Batman, but I'd be pretty pissed too. And Batman admits that, which I liked, right? Because it was softening of Batman in a way where
he wasn't the first that you saw
Batman.
Yeah. They kept him out of it.
Oh yeah. It was Diana that he saw first.
Yeah. He was purposely left out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they knew if he saw Batman that he'd be pissed.
Yeah. It was Superman in his rage just wrecked everyone.
Yeah.
But there was a great moment where I actually in the theater, and there was only four people in the theater, where I actually did the woo uber loud, was the Flash running around Superman and Superman tracking him in slow motion, yes, with his eye and then turning his head.
Yeah, that was
and
so
that
good.
Little exchange was like, who's complaining about Zack Snyder? Like, holy Christ, that is like, when I'm explaining this film to my wife before the two end credits, and I tell her I cried three times, she's like, why? It just seems like it was an all right movie. It was so-so. And I'm like, you don't understand. I have been reading comic books before I could read. I looked at pictures and put those comic books away. And then when I learned to read, I reread those comic books and continued to read those. And in this movie, I never ever thought I would ever see Justice League on screen.
Mm-hmm,
one.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would ever see scenes from these comic books that go back to me being 4 or 5 years old put on the big screen. I never thought I would ever see a mother box on the big screen. I never thought I would see Flash and Superman racing each other on the big screen. I never thought, like, and I just went through like all these scenes that are like, this might have just been a scene for you. This was an iconic thing that I have dreamed about. Had dreams, multiple dreams, of being in a situation where Flash picks me up and runs me out of a building that's collapsing. Watching Superman and Flash race each other. The greatest race of all time. I'm like, there is stuff in this film. At least 10 things. And I haven't even... Easter eggs. I haven't even gone on to look at any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fresh. I haven't even delved into that research. But I just looked at my wife. I'm like, I had Green Lantern on screen for 8 seconds. Even though there was a movie of that character, I had him for 8 seconds exactly how I imagine him on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take those 8 seconds. Like, those are cherished. And having Lois and Clark, and I even told my wife, I'm like, Superman has never been a character that ever resonated with me. Henry Cavill, Amy Adams made this character, and Zack Snyder made this character something that's like, I want to go read that character.
Yes.
I want to invest a hell of a lot more time if that character is being written like this. And the problem is, not a lot of writers write them like this.
Well, and I think that's what's different.
Or, guess what, Legionnaires, if there are arcs of Superman that I'm missing, like, please give me suggestions, because I would love to read this Superman. And I've read, like, Superman by Mark Waid, that Birthright, and that's pretty darn close to this. And there are other quiet moment Superman stories that I've read that are close, but it's just like, for me, it is like, I will read a Lois Lane comic book over Superman from that same era. I will read a Jimmy Olsen crazy comic book over a Superman comic book from that era. Like, Superman's just not a character that hits. So that's why, like, I know Batman's going to hit with. I know Flash is going to hit with me. I could tell just by the comedy on those two trailers. So that'll ring true. I was surprised at Cyborg. I thought Cyborg was pretty darn cool. I wasn't expecting much, and he surprised me. And the last scene, one of the last scenes when Cyborg and Superman pull apart the mother box, and yeah. Then they're both laying on the opposite side of that platform, and he's like, I don't even know how I can feel my toes wiggling, but I don't know how that's even possible. And to see Superman in that same position, and he's actually sharing that moment, like, that was like, this is what a team is. Like, it's not just witty remarks back and forth. It is Batman catching Flash when he's falling with a batarang and pulling him up as hard as he possibly can because he doesn't have suit.
Well,
like,
I mean,
those are the most, like, and watching, like, getting Aquaman and Wonder Woman to, like, beating up on Steppenwolf and doing those, like, team fight stuff, I can get that in any supergroup film.
Sure.
But it's like those, like, small little moments that remind me of the comic, and that's what I want. Like, the comedy is good, or like Suicide Squad, like, there's some cool moments, but in my head, it's the tone that they did that, like, that's what I want in my Justice League comic. And you know what's not there? That. Like, it's tough to write cool, small moments. It's easy to write comedy. But it's those small emotional team moments that I got more from this film than I have in Justice League comics for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And it just, it's non-existent.
Well, that might change now because they've got Christopher Priest writing it.
Yeah, and I hope it does. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. But I think the an interesting thing for me, at least, is you mentioned the whole Batman, the Superman Lois thing. Mm-hmm. And what I really liked about that is I think that's the direction they've been going in the comics for probably like 2 years now.
Yeah.
Ever since they did that whole the American Alien thing, which, matter of fact, wasn't that Max Landis?
It is Max Landis. Yep.
But bringing it on back. But ever since then, bringing in making the relationship between Clark and Lois
they put out a Lois and Clark, Superman and Lois comic book,
right?
Like, yeah, DC wants that to happen.
Well, and that's what's made the book successful, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
right? Because now they've got the family aspect. Now they're bringing their kid in also,
and I love that,
and it works out really, really well. And it's surprising, right? Because you would think a being as powerful as Superman and just hanging out with a regular human person would not be that interesting.
Yeah.
But bringing the family aspect makes it very interesting. And I think that's what's been missing from Superman for a long time, because everybody just wants to do like a here's the most powerful man in the universe kind of thing.
Yep.
And it's not interesting.
Like, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and yeah. I hate to say it, like, I understand you haven't, Lois and Clark they've been an item for various degrees of being together, quote unquote.
Sure.
But to have them as we're just going to present a married couple, and guess what? They have a kid. And they go through some of the same pitfalls that you do, reader. I, just to say, that's never been done in 75 years. Is that the reason not to do it? Like, for me, like, Peter and Mary Jane being married, that's some interesting ground you could have coasted on. The sad thing is, like, today's comic book market and what is and isn't acceptable is a lot different than what it was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if they did that now, I think that that would be approached in a heck of a lot different way. Because people now realize, oh, you know what our comic book base is? It's not 15-year-old boys anymore. They're a little older, and they might want to read like a relationship type comic.
Well, but at the same time, done well, right? Because we don't, you just don't want everything to be CW. Like the CW thing's good to a certain extent, but you want everything that way. And I agree with you, dude. And I'm telling you, like I don't know what the future is for the DC movies. Seems to be not very bright from what I've read.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is a shame because I think Justice League was a really good, very fun, enjoyable, well done superhero movie, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people shit on it for various reasons. One, I think the most obvious one is that there's people who are used to the Marvel formula of superhero movies, and that's what they expect. And I think Justice League tried to do some of that. Maybe not as successfully as Marvel has done it. But you know, they try to bring in the jokey atmosphere and make it a little more lighthearted. And I think
they did that.
I think it worked in many respects, but I don't know if it worked to the extent that the Marvel movies did. And I wouldn't want them to, is the difference. Mm-hmm. because I don't want every superhero movie to be the same. And to me, all the Marvel movies have been going in the same direction. And looking at like Black Panther trailer, that looks like it'll be completely different from what we're getting. But then looking at like Infinity War, I'm not quite sure that like that will be any different. You see what I'm saying?
I would pleasantly disagree that Black Panther's gonna change the game. I hope it does, but. I don't have faith.
I'm just going by the trailer. It looks it looks more Winter Soldier than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, sure.
But I think Justice League did it successfully. And I think if you're like really heavily invested in the legacy of the comic books, then you will enjoy Justice League a lot more than just a regular person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been pretty obvious from like the conversations that I've had. So I didn't post a lot about Justice League on Twitter, because my new thing has been, probably for like the last year or year and a half, where I don't want to talk about superhero movies in public for like a couple weeks. And it just so happened that like I just got really busy and I just didn't have time to talk about Justice League, after it came out. But because I do the podcast, I don't want what I feel about a movie to influence anybody else's opinion.
Sure.
And I went back and forth a little bit with, Brian Reber on this on Twitter. Because he finally went to see Justice League and he fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else was chiming in on it and I chimed in. And what I realized is, the reason that I loved it is because I don't give a shit what other people think about the movies. So mm-hmm. I go in not reading reviews and not going on Rotten Tomatoes and not doing any of the other crap. Like, I don't care what the reviews are on this. I don't care what other people rate this movie at. I fucking loved it. Like, if I had to rate it, I would give it, like, I don't know, 90% maybe. Well, how many tomatoes is that? 90 tomatoes? I don't know. I would give it 90 tomatoes. But obviously, like, people don't feel that way, right? Because the movie's not rated very highly. The critics didn't like it. But you know what? Like, everybody that I've talked to really liked the movie, right? Like, all our friends liked it. And usually I wouldn't be surprised by that. But, like, Mike from What Did You Watch, who absolutely hates Batman vs. Superman with a passion.
Mm-hmm.
He hates it about as much as I love it. He really fucking dug Justice League.
Hmm.
And to have somebody like that who's very critical of TV and movies, really enjoy it. And granted, Mike's got a good comic background, but you know, I mean, that doesn't always make a difference. Just the fact that he enjoyed it as much as he did, meant a lot to me at least. Because it tells me that maybe maybe it is just like getting off the fucking hype train that makes a difference.
I just want everything to be successful because I want to see more of these films get made.
Right.
I mean, whether I hit my oversaturation regarding the films or the Netflix shows, that doesn't matter. I'm just thrilled to know, like, guess what? In 3 years, when I'm not so oversaturated, I might want to go back to that TV show. And it's good that it's there.
Isn't that bad that, like, we feel oversaturated, though?
I never thought I would ever say that, but, you know, guess what? It happens. So I'm inundated with comic book talk and stuff like that. So, you know, at some point you hit a tipping point. So.
But you know what? Even then, though, it's still a good time because even if you're oversaturated, everything's on demand, so you don't need to watch everything now, right?
Yeah, I just don't want this DC film. I don't want them to look at the money brought in, even though there's no way it's going to lose money, especially in the aftermarket. But I don't want them to look at the critic score and all that stuff and just be like, is it worth it?
Well, they already changed their plans. I mean, I think the movie did $600 million last time I checked, which they considered a failure. So right now, the only movie that's for sure is Aquaman because it's almost done. Wow. And Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it wasn't Wonder Woman, holy cow.
But I think the Flash movie is canceled.
Wow.
I think they still want to do the Flashpoint, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how that's related to anything else that they've done.
I don't want things to get canceled. Is my point.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, how much money do you need to make to be successful, dude?
Yeah. Especially like, are you counting in the success of like DVD and Blu-ray?
No kidding.
Because I'm pretty sure that's going to be the money truck. So,
well, I mean,
and I hate to say it, whether you're a brand loyalist or not, what good is it that all of a sudden DC's like, yeah, you know what? Or Warner Brothers, yeah, we're going to pull out of the superhero genre. We're going to go over here now.
No, they won't do that.
Like all the Marvel loyalists, like, do you want a slow clap? Because congratulations, like, supposedly you made DC films do that. Like, what's the benefit there? Like, it's not going to turn DC comic book fans into like, well, there's only one company doing movies now, so I better jump on that Marvel train. Like, they're not going to do that. So what did you accomplish there? Like, ugh. I get, like, you don't need 50,000 movies going, so if things get pared down and become like the best of the best, okay, I get that. Because there's plenty of movies where it's like, guess what? If that never came out, I think I would be that upset by it.
Like The Room, which I just watched. Have you ever seen The Room?
No.
Dude, we watched it twice last night, back to back.
Really?
It was hilarious.
Oof.
But no, I think it's a good point, dude. I think what people forget is if Warner Brothers decides not to make any more DC movies, that doesn't mean you're going to get more Marvel movies or better Marvel movies. Matter of fact, chances are you'll get worse Marvel movies and more of the same. And
or less.
Or less. And
less films, yeah.
What that will lead to eventually is no films. Mm-hmm. Because the competition keeps things fresh. And I don't think people understand that. It's the same with the comics. Yeah. Like, there's no point in taking one side or the other. Like, I obviously prefer DC over Marvel, right? Jack from Ultimate Marvel very obviously prefers Marvel over DC. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I don't need to argue with him about why he likes Marvel. He likes Marvel. That's great for him. I prefer DC. He prefers Marvel. But you know what? It doesn't mean that I wish ill on Marvel. Like, I still want Marvel to put out good comics. And right now, they're putting out a lot of really good comics. And it's the same with the movies. Like, I want them to continue to put out good movies because if they go one up to DC movies, then that means DC has to come back and make better movies. Yeah. But if nobody goes to see Justice League or everybody shits on Justice League or any movie, okay, and Warner Brother decides to change their scheduling, which they have, then that doesn't fare well for anybody. Because now Marvel can continue doing the same thing over and over again that they've been doing. That works out for them. But then we get the same movie every time. And I don't want that, right? I want these people to be able to take chances on the movies. And I want stories that I wouldn't expect to see in film to be brought over from the comics into a movie. And the only way we can do that is if we keep having successful movies on both sides, Marvel and DC and whatever else, Image or whatever other fucking properties when they come out. I don't think people understand that.
No, I think a lot of people are just sort of blind by label loyalty.
Yeah, you just want to stick to your tribe, and that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is okay. You know, I'm just not...
No, it's not okay.
But I'm not a tribe person. I want to read Moon Knight, and I want to read Batman, and I don't ever want either of them to be canceled.
Right.
Like, I just... Oh, but I will say, going back to the trailer, the one eye roll moment in the last trailer with the huge ocean of Amazons riding towards Steppenwolf. During that whole explanation, background check of Steppenwolf conquering planets, I swear to God, during that whole flashback scene, I actually yawned during it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, until Green Lantern showed up, and then I was like, ooh. And then I was like, well, who are all these people? I'm like, it was so confusing. It became like the Transformer films.
Yeah, dude, but like Zeus was in there and Hercules was in there.
Wouldn't know. No clue. It became just a blur of motion.
It was a lot of people. Although I think it'd be interesting is if they made that battle into a movie. Although it'd be like too much Lord of the Rings, you know what I'm saying? But I think it'd be interesting if they did. But I agree with you. And I found it surprising that there was no Green Lantern in the movie. Considering they were in that first scene. And then, dude, oh my God, when that Green Lantern died and the freaking ring flies off, I was like,
yeah.
Why is there no Green Lantern here?
And when the after credit scene with Joe Pantoliano,
whatever his name is,
when he took off the mask and it was him, I'm like, oh, I did remember seeing him on Twitter tweeting out a picture of him, and the like, oh yeah. Yeah, those are two great end sequences. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked them. The first one, it was more fan service than anything, but I think it was enjoyable regardless.
It was perfect fan service.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was nice and long too. Instead of just showing them like, you want to go east or west? That way. Okay, woo, and then we run.
Well, and I like that they never showed the actual race too.
Yeah. And even I told Liz, like, oh, they've done that umpteen times. Oh, who wins? And I totally gave like the fanboy answer of like, well, you know, one person will be out in front and then a villain shows up and they have to lend a hand. So really, you never find out who really wins.
Well, and so the cool thing about that scene, though, was that it made sense with the movie, right? Because when they're in that Russian town where Steppenwolf is, when they're trying to get the civilians out of town, you've got that scene where Flash gets that one family out, and then Superman like comes flying out with like the building on his shoulders.
Yes. Or right before that, when Superman catches up with Flash and goes slowpoke.
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was good.
But come on, small shit of, and I'm trying not to curse during this episode because it's a darn good movie, but even the small stuff of the Flash, like, I don't know what to do in the first scene against Steppenwolf in the sewers. And he's like having this moment of conflict. I don't like bugs. And, you know, he's saying like throwaway funny line. And Batman's just like, save one person. That'll tell you what to do.
Right.
And it's just like, just something so small and simple like that. It's just, and then him telling like Diana, like, I'm giving you this opportunity to lead. You haven't wanted to lead since, you know, Trevor passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then for her to finally pick that up and like, we didn't have a choice. She said we had to help you to Batman during the whole, like, the car scene towards the end. And it's just like, God, those are such like, it's the small, simple stuff that like, yep, that's sort of what Batman would do. Yep, that's how Flash would get over that hump, that crisis hump.
Well, and that's why Ben Affleck is the second best Batman.
He is.
He's awesome.
And it's really a shame if those rumors are true that he might not be back. That would be a darn shame.
It is a shame. And I understand why those rumors are coming out. There's all kinds of crazy shit going on in Hollywood right now.
Oh, God,
yeah. So I understand that. But you know what? Like, I don't know, man.
And who knows what didn't come out?
And
what was the reason for him to say, I'm going to sit down, guys?
Yeah.
And you don't know what happened behind closed doors.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that kind of stuff comes out, then I will change my mind.
Sure.
But until then, I really think that Ben Affleck is a damn good Batman and a really good Bruce Wayne.
And I when I was watching the film tonight, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I had a Martin. God.
Oh God, yes.
When two scenes when he mentions Trevor. And Wonder Woman looked like she was going to put her fist through his chest. And his reaction was like so good. And then right after that, when he's taking off his shirt and you see all those bruises on his back.
Yep.
I'm like, that is such a Martin sandwich right there. Yum, yum, yum.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were a few scenes.
I know. Oh, God. I'm trying to think. Oh, and then pushing the separated shoulder back in.
That was good, too.
Anytime they can show Batman battered and bruised, it just reconfirms that, like, he's just like me. Like, he's a human. He's just like me.
Well, and I think even stuff that would maybe upset some people, like when he tells Diana she should be the leader of the league, I think some people were probably upset about that. I think that's perfect Batman.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not about him. He would technically be the best leader. But the problem is, in the overall sequence of things, he would not be. Because they're trying to bring Superman back. And to have him be the leader would be contrary to some of that stuff. So it makes logical sense for Diana to be the leader.
He's too driven.
Absolutely.
He's willing to make sacrifices. And if that's... Well, if that means like the Flash dies for this to happen because this is more important, Batman would have no problem being like, yep, that's what happened to happen.
Yep. Yes, but at the same time, he's smart enough because the thing is, none of these people as of this movie have worked together as a team. So, so they have to learn each other. And the thing is, you know, we forget a lot of stuff because in the comics they've been together for so long. But but Flash in this movie is like a really young Flash.
Oh yeah,
right. Like he's not even working for the what is it, Central City PD or whatever, CCPD.
Yep. Till the end.
Till the end. And then obviously Cyborg like just got his powers and he's still like emo Cyborg, right? So he's very powerful, but he doesn't have full control of his abilities. Same with Flash, and so like. Him not being the leader, you're absolutely right. Like, if he were, he'd be willing to sacrifice those people. But because they're so fresh, he knows he can't be the leader because of that. And so he knows that Diana will not sacrifice those team members.
Yes.
Right? Had they been in the league for a while, he'd be okay with it. But because they haven't, he can't be okay with it.
As well as guide them better.
Right, absolutely.
Because Batman's plan going into Russia was, I'll go down there, distract all the minions. You just go to that tower and fight Steppenwolf.
Which is funny because he's the one with no powers.
Yeah, but all he was a distraction, which I totally get it. Like in his head, that made complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having all of those minions as well as Steppenwolf to deal with.
Well, and you know what's funny though? as much as I rag on Tom King's Batman, like in many respects, I think the Batman that we see in this movie is uh-huh. is very similar to what we see in the comics now also. Uh-huh. Cause he is in some ways like slightly suicidal, but, uh-huh. but at the same time, like very calculating in the way that he does things.
But I love the line of, I've been doing this 20 years.
Absolutely. And you know what? When they make this Batman movie, I want him to stay with that.
Yeah.
Cause that's the, I think that's the one thing that we haven't seen. And I think that's one thing that would make that movie really different and interesting and set it apart from anything else. Mm-hmm. Is if they stick with this older Batman, because I think, yeah. I think it worked very well in BVS, but I think mm-hmm. it worked especially well in Justice League. To have this older, like very mature, like
the grizzled bat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I want.
But even when Alfred throws out the, well, it beats, fighting plastic penguins. Like that is when I wanted some fan service of like, please just show me in flashback what that is. Just
right.
Give me that scene. That's, oh, Jeremy Irons.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I would love to know from you regarding Justice League of America, the comic.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of miss the brooding Batman in the shadows. He's only part of, remember it was like a good like 5-10 years where it was like he never wanted to officially be a member. Call me if you need help. But like he was always in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of dug that version of Batman in the JLA. Like he was just the loner, you know?
I don't know, man. I kind of like both because like when they did Batman and the Outsiders,
mm-hmm.
He was kind of key to that until he decided to step away and it became just the Outsiders.
Right.
But I think it works both ways, just depending on like who's writing it. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say it's all the writer approach.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But oh God, it was Martin. That's why I kept throwing out to you and I purposely worded it in a way that I was hoping you were going to be like, I can't believe Nick hates this movie.
I thought we were going to record and I was going to have to defend this movie for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to think. Cause I just kept, I kept telling you for the listener, like, oh, we got to have words about this. Oh, I got thoughts. Oh, but my point to that is I just wanted to scold you because you didn't share with me like, Nick, this is a special movie. You should go see this in the theater. Don't miss this. Don't let this big screen get away from you.
Well,
because it was that good. It was like all you had to say was you like Batman versus Superman, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you should go see this because we've talked about Batman versus Superman enough for you to know, like, oh yeah, Nick was over the moon with that film.
So
it was just like Batman. Like the tone was so, but then there was just more funny parts, more characters, more fan service, but not dumb fan service.
Well, I think it was very much like BVS. The only difference mm-hmm. was that Justice League gave the characters more personality. It made mm-hmm. it more personable. Mm-hmm. But I think the thematically, at least, Justice League was very similar to BVS. Yeah, more lighthearted, yes, but that's what made it more personable. And to go to the point that you just made, I didn't want to influence anybody on seeing the movie or not. And maybe that's a fault of mine because I don't like other people to tell me what to watch.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, I did plan on talking about this movie, like, 2 weeks after it was out, and timing-wise, it didn't work out for me, so. That never happened.
Next time, privately nudge me just to, because you know sometimes I want to put 2 hours back in my pocket.
Well, and the thing is, like,
there's a big difference between putting 2 hours back in my pocket and like knowing that Nick doesn't mind spending money and time going to the big screen and seeing something.
Sure.
And that's sort of like for me, like John Carter of Mars is that
mm-hmm.
like. Where were all of my boys to tell me to go see John Carter on the big screen? Luckily, I only had myself to be like, you know what? I sort of want to see that. I don't care what the Rotten Tomato reviews are, or critics, or, and thank God I saw it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's epics like that that you just shouldn't miss out. Like, the big screen is still special for me.
Yeah.
Like, there's crappy movies that the big screen will make, like, oh, it was all right. But there are really special movies out there. Like, the last one you did to me, and it was, and it's on me that I effed up, and I was not, life got in the way, and I wasn't able to go to. The last one you suggested I do that with was Blade Runner.
I still
kick myself, because it's like, I know that's visually, when I see that on the small screen, I'll be kicking myself.
I'm sure that's coming out on DVD soon, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, but it's just not the same experience. So that was the time where you're like, you should have the big screen. And it's like, darn it. Yeah, you're right. I should have.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you miss some of that, because I think we briefly talked about it on our private chat on Discord.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even in our private chat, I try not to say too much, because not everybody had seen it.
Sure.
By the way, Blade Runner, January 16th.
Nice. But even my wife at the end of this film, she's like, you know, on Friday, Justice League probably won't be in as many theaters as it is today. Because it's the last day of the week.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's still out.
I even told her that. I'm like, I'm shocked that Justice League trailers weren't swallowed up by Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into more screens.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah. And then at the end of the movie, it's like, I looked at my wife and I'm like, I just cried three times. Thank God I saw this on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been really bummed out. And that's why I like our blackout policy, to never know Luther was in this film.
Mm.
To never know, like, there were so Green Lantern. I didn't know about that going in. I didn't know about, like, all of the stuff that were, I had so many genuine surprises. It was fantastic.
Telling you, blackout policy is the best policy.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was cool seeing Luther. That whole thing where he, like, they didn't explain it enough, but he obviously broke out of jail, right?
I don't need anything. Hey, Martin, please explain to me why in a minute and a half scene, he's shown on a yacht with about 10 women all doing weird stuff behind him, and he's completely unaffected. Who's the woman that's, like, in a weird hot tub that's behind him? And it just looks like she's, like, staring off into space. Like, what's going on behind you, Luther? Like, oh, my God.
Mm.
But he's just so strange. Like, just the, like, five lines that Jesse Eisenberg said, it's like, God, he's made for that character. Like, good God, he's good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So compelling.
He's awesome. Who would you like to see in Justice League?
Duh.
I had a couple people ask me on Twitter, and I was trying to think of, like, the most logical answer to that. Because obviously, you'd have to have, like, a villain for each hero, right?
Yeah, I would like to see Cheetah. That would be fun.
Oh, I didn't even think about Cheetah.
I would like Clayface, because that would be some kick-ass special effects.
Yeah, but you already have Deathstroke on there. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but that, hey, this is my team.
Yeah, I know. And you have to have Mantis.
Yeah, I would love Mantis. Yeah,
that would be. Well, let's think about this. Does Aquaman have any other villains aside from Mantis?
Yeah, that one dude.
Oh, not Mantis, Black Manta.
Yeah, that one dude that challenged for the throne.
Yeah, his stepbrother or half-brother or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's boring, dude.
He is, I agree.
He's boring.
But I want Mantis with that big-ass helmet, that's all.
Oh, God, yes.
Don't you dare character create him. But what would the equivalent for Cyborg be?
I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a magic-based character for Cyborg.
Ooh.
Because that would go against Superman too. Because, you know, Superman's afraid of magic, yeah, or something.
That would work really well.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting.
But that scene with Aquaman sitting on the lasso—that
was hilarious.
That was the part where all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I'm liking Aquaman.
Well, and for me, that was an obvious Joss Whedon scene.
Oh yeah, that but from that point till the end of the movie, that's when I fell in love with, like, Aquaman.
Yeah. And you know, it was so subtle too, right? Because he's just talking. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, his tone changes, and then you pan to Wonder Woman, and you're like, motherfucker, she's got the lasso on. And then they show the lasso, and I was like, yes.
I don't think it was on him. I think he sat on
it. Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't get it on him.
No, I don't mean she got it on him. I mean, like, it was on him.
Right. And then the tone changed when he's like, you're hot.
Yes.
Like, oh, oh God.
It was so awesome. Funny. It was so good. So good.
So funny. Yeah, I don't, to be honest with you, I just want to have an Injustice gang. That's all I care about.
Mm.
I don't need anything else, but to be honest with you, instead of Steppenwolf, if you want, if I'm going to fanboy out right now, a character that would be a lot of CGI, but who the hell cares because you have to battle everyone, give me a Brainiac.
Mm.
I would take a crazy Brainiac. That would be fun. Or give me Darkseid, for God's sake. Like, what's a step? Get out of here.
I'm trying to think who I said. I think I had said, when they asked me, I had Luther, Deathstroke, Black Manta, Dr. Light is who I had on there.
Nice. The male or female version?
Either one. I don't care.
I would go female.
Yeah?
More diversity.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know besides that, like, Reverse Flash, I guess, cause.
Give me Cheetah, come on.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you need to have God, that would be a bad pun. I was about to say a Reverse Flash, but that's an actual character.
Yeah, but would you look to do a character that is not in the TV show?
I mean, Nick, let's be honest. When it comes to the Flash, they're all just kinda the opposite of the Flash.
Weather Wizard? Trickster?
Yeah.
They're not all opposite Flash.
I don't know if they'd be good enough for like a big budget movie.
Gallery, son.
All right, maybe like Captain Cold. I could see that.
Yeah.
But not Weather Wizard. Do you think Warner Brothers is going to spend whatever $400 million to put Weather Wizard in a movie?
No, but my point is, to your point of, it's all just the opposite of Flash.
Sure.
No, he has a rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'll take Captain Boomerang. Because that is an uber dumb character, and any speedster should be able to take care of him in, about 3 seconds.
Yeah, but Boomerang's been in Suicide Squad.
But who the hell cares, because Captain Boomerang's pretty cool. But you know who would be fun?
Who?
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, from Fujitsu.
Yeah. No, no, no. he was in Starman. He, the Swamp Thing villain. What? If you want a magic nature dude.
Oh, fuck. What's his name? The Floronic Man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, Woodrow Wilson. Yeah, Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson.
God, that dude's weird. He was like an alien at one point. Then he wasn't an alien. Yeah, Woodrow. He was in the animated, the Harley Batman movie.
Hmm. Interesting.
He was one of the villains. It was him and Poison Ivy.
Hmm.
That movie was not the best. Matter of fact, it was borderline bad.
No. What Batman villain would you take?
For
the Injustice League, yeah.
I don't know. I'm really partial to Scarecrow lately.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
Because I could even see Poison Ivy just for the sheer fact that that could work against Superman as well.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they've made her somewhat more of a hero lately.
I'm not talking about comics. I thought you were going to go, like, movie-wise.
I know. Yeah, I guess you're right.
But they also did Scarecrow as well, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been partial to Scarecrow. I mean, just bring in somebody stupid. Dude, like, bring in King Tut. How about King Tut?
Oh, boy. Boy.
No, King Calendar Man?
Oh, I did. How about the Calculator?
Oh, the Calculator would be good. But only if they... Alright, so those two would be really good if they do them, like, super dark.
And he got the numerical pad off of his chest.
Wasn't it on his chest? I'm good with that too.
Yeah.
Ugh. What's his name? Bookworm. How about Bookworm?
That's when you know, like, did DC just throw in the flag? Are they done with superhero films?
That's the thing, all dude. Like,
it's like, oh, King Tut. Look at that. Who would've thought, for
like an animated show or a movie or like you know, something for TV. I don't think they have a problem bringing in like third rate villains. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But for a big budget movie, like, they're gonna want big things. And I'm not saying like necessarily Joker, but like big villain like Penguin or Riddler, or Two-Face, something like that.
Yeah, Riddler would be fun,
I guess.
Well, you can't have Joker,
dude. Riddler in Gotham's pretty fun.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Gotham, dude.
How was he in what is it? Jokes and Riddles. How was he in that?
I didn't read it.
God. The host of I Am Gotham, people, right here.
Didn't read it. That was the F this book moment.
Well, you didn't read 52 either, so.
Yeah, well, I'm correcting that. Dude,
shame on you.
Professor Pig is in Gotham.
In the TV show?
In the TV show.
Oh, brother.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah, I didn't. Did Morrison create him?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, brother.
Yes, he did. It's almost as dark, not quite.
How about the Mad Hatter in Justice League?
Oh, I would love that.
It'd be so stupid, but so good.
No, it'd be so like, awesome. Creepy. Dude, they put Mad Hatter in Gotham, and that was freaking creepy.
Was he a, would you say child molester? Where he was infatuated with like prepubescent women.
Well, yes,
I guess pedophile. Well, would be more accurate.
So that came up, but the weird thing was that like his sister Alice had that. It was almost like a mind control drug that she could secrete from her hands. But like he wanted to keep her away from everybody because it was kind of creepy. It was almost like he was in love with her.
Yeah. That's the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very weird, but they did it really well. Dude, you gotta watch Gotham. What are you doing?
Nah, I'll just go read Batgirl Year One and Robin Year One.
Dude,
I'll be okay.
There are some really good episodes of Gotham.
Yeah.
They're not all great, but there's some really good ones.
Oh, I'm sure. So should I check out what is it? League of Their Own? What's that shit?
League of Their Own. That's Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to watch that.
Yeah, with Brandon Ralph, and they fly around in space and do
what are you crazy talking about?
Adventures, right?
Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Legends. So should I be watching Legends of Tomorrow or Gotham?
Ooh, that's hard. That is really tough, Nick.
Would you like an easier question?
Wait, I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to say, actually, I think Legends, probably.
Okay.
Just because it's more fun. All right, what's your next question?
Arrow or The Flash?
Let me think about that. I'm going to say The Flash.
The Flash or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, my God, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Don't do
or
it.
Or The Gifted?
Wow. oh shit. Look, Ronnie really hates Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. However, I have hated Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the entire time.
Ooh.
And I love the season.
Ooh.
So that's really hard. I'm gonna stick with The Gifted for now.
Okay.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really fucking good right now.
What about
Gifted? They're in space. What? The Kree are there.
Mm.
There's Inhumans.
Mm.
The Kree are freaking like slave trading Inhumans throughout the galaxy.
Mm.
In this like gladiator shit going on. The Earth is blown up. All right.
Isn't there an Inhumans TV show?
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right, then. The Gifted or Inhumans?
Oh, The Gifted by far.
The Gifted or Supergirl?
Unlike some people, I enjoy Supergirl. But I will still go with The Gifted.
The Gifted or The Runaways?
Runaways.
Oh, holy mackerel.
Runaways is really fucking good, dude.
Wow, I've only watched two episodes. The Runaways or Legion?
Runaways.
Okay. Runaways, don't even caveat. The Runaways or Batman the Animated Series?
Oh, Batman the Animated Series, without a doubt.
Yes, Batman the Animated Series wins all, and it is the victor in this or that. Thank you.
Yeah. Batman the Animated Series is the best superhero thing ever created of all time. Yes. In terms of current things that are superhero related, Runaways, mm-hmm. I think, is the best thing out right now.
Oh, I like to hear that. Okay, because that's a superhero thing I can get behind and watch.
Yeah, it's gotten really, really good.
That's great.
And here's another thing, Nick. I have never read the comic.
What?
Yep.
Oh yeah, you hate Brian K. Vaughan. Yeah,
I don't hate Brian K. Vaughan. I like Why the Last Man.
You do.
I like Why the Last Man.
Oh, you do.
I hate Saga.
Yeah.
But I like Why the Last Man.
What about the Tony Harris one that he did?
Which one?
Wasn't it Tony Harris? Where it was the mayor of New York? That was Brian K. Vaughan.
Hang on. Let me look this up.
Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, that was good.
That was all right. Is the movie related to the comic?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because the movie was kind of crappy.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm looking this up right now. Oh, Brian K. Vaughan did Runaways.
Didn't I just say that? Before I said, yeah, you hate Brian K. Vaughan.
Oh, that's why you said that.
Yeah.
Okay, now it all makes sense.
Even though you hate Brian K. Vaughan, if The Runaways is free on Comixology, at least the first couple trades, you should read the first couple trades. They're good.
No, I've actually, I do have it on my to-read list. But
that's a long to read list, dude.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it was going to be much sooner, but then somebody said I should be reading 52. So I bumped a lot of
things. Way to go, Ronnie Barron.
I bumped a lot of things off so I could read 52.
That's must read
material. Hey, don't forget, you need to be reading up on that Wildstorm.
Oh, God, dude. I cannot wait.
Because, you know, we got to book club that up.
Hell yeah, are you kidding me? I'm going to go from 52 right into Wild.
Massive Marvel sale.
The Wild.
Two words. Wild. Three words.
Yep.
Oh shit, I got to buy this.
What?
Batman Superman World's Finest Silver Age Volume 1.
Yeah.
$4.99.
Is it World's Finest or Brave? No, they haven't done Brave and Bold
yet. No. They haven't done Brave and Bold.
I'm still waiting for Brave and Bold.
Which one is the Silver Age? World's Finest, 71-94. Yeah, I would say that's worth $4.99.
For sure. Okay. Dude, I have 39 things in my cart right now, and I would say 35 of them are the $4.99 DC trades.
Oh.
So you can imagine how expensive that cart is.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Marvel's Runaways, Volume 1 and 2, Comixology Unlimited.
Oh, there you go. Yep. I was going to say, or you can go to, what is it, Marvel Unlimited, and you should be able to get it there.
I don't like this art.
Who does the art?
Adrian Alfona.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's all right.
Don't like it.
Just get in there.
Oh, it's fucking World's Finest.
Yeah, that's the shit right
That's there. The ticket.
Uh-huh.
Superman Batman Saga of the Super Sons. Oh shit.
Yeah, you jump in there.
Damn it.
Don't be afraid.
Damn it. I just can't quit old comics. Damn it, Nick.
Yeah, there's some good old comics in there, but
I will probably never read new comics. Fuck.
Why do you need to?
That's a good point. Why do I need to?
Right.
There's so many good old ones.
I had this discussion with Ronnie.
Yeah.
Because with the Marvel sale, I was like, because you know me, who loved Secret Wars more than me?
Nobody.
Nobody. And Secret Empire looks just as cool and crazy. So I reached out to him and I was like, dude, talk me off the ledge.
Mm.
But right now I want to buy every Secret Empire as well as the offshoots. Talk me off this ledge. And his response, which I have it, and I have to read it to you because it's just hilarious. Because it tells you about my reading back to like why read new comics. He's like, okay, so here's the question. How soon would you read this? If it's right away before all other books and it's a good price, do it. But if you're going to be reading, if you aren't going to be reading this for a while, then why would you not wait and read it free on Marvel Unlimited?
Mm, good point.
Yeah, and he's like, but if you can wait for a month or two, then do it. But if you're going to start it this weekend, then yeah, jump into it. But then he said something to the effect of, but I'm pretty sure knowing you, you probably have about 200 other comics you could be reading. So I'm like, yes, you're absolutely right. I do have some Spider-Man Masterworks waiting for me. And by some, I have about 13 volumes. So, yes, I do have plenty to read.
I am going to buy this World's Finest. I think I'm going to buy the Justice League Elseworlds, too.
Yeah.
Because last night I bought Batman 1 through 19, I think it was.
Ooh.
The Batman Rebirth.
Oh, nice.
Because I had them floppies, but I'm trying to switch over to digital on those.
Sure.
And I bought the Elseworlds Batman Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Did you grab 1 through 19 as trades?
No, single issues.
On the $4.99 thing?
No, single issues.
Why wouldn't you just buy the digital trades at $4.99?
Because they're a buck a piece, so it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, the issues were a buck a piece. Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase that. 1 through 16 were a buck a piece, and then 17, 18, 19 were $4.99.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
And then the Elseworlds are $4.99, which I already have these in print, but again, I wanted to have them in digital. And for $5, I was like, yes. Yeah.
It's too tempting. Like I said, I have 38 things sitting in my cart, and they're all pretty much $5 each.
I've got 18 more things in my cart.
Yeah, that's pretty pricey. Old Santa Claus would be hurting me right now if I just happened to purchase all that at once.
Yeah, don't do that.
But, ooh, there's some good stuff. So that's why when Paul's like, what's better, this or that? It's like, let me spend your money, Paul.
Man, this freaking Elseworlds Batman Volume 2 cover by Kelly Jones is fucking badass.
Mm-hmm. And it's all the Kelly Jones Elseworlds stuff.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. They should make, you know what? They should make this into a Batman black and white statue.
Aren't they?
Oh, didn't what? They? Did they?
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't they?
Oh,
it
shit.
It just came out, like, earlier this month.
Hang on a second. I might need to buy this right now.
Yeah, it's a Kelly Jones. It looks very close. Elseworld cover.
Hold on. Breaking news.
Yeah, I could swear they did that.
Kelly Jones, Batman Black and White. I don't see a statue.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Let me eyeball. I could swear it just came out.
No, I don't see it. Let's see. All five departments collectible. Nope.
How did I just pull it up?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, put in Kelly Jones Batman statue.
Okay, Batman.
And here's a black and white statue.
What the F? It's not on Amazon.
I'm on the Amazon app right now.
Shut up.
Yeah. Are you spelling Kelly right?
Surely.
K-E-L-L-E-Y?
Yeah. Oh, wait,
I'm telling you, I put Kelly Jones Batman statue. That's all I put in. And it was the top one from Diamond Comic Distributor.
Kelly Jones Batman statue.
Yes. This wasn't actually the one I was thinking of. There might be two.
I'm very confused because I just typed the same result and now I have different results.
Yeah.
Because now I see that one and the Bane one.
Yeah, there you go.
This is not what I was talking about, though, dude. I want the cover to the Elseworlds Batman Volume 2 as a statue.
Listen, jerky.
I mean, these are really nice.
Yeah, that Kelly Jones Bane is crazy. Look how high those, like, shoulders are. How low the head is. Oh, my God. So crazy.
God, spend this.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead.
No,
jump
I don't.
In. I knew they did one.
I might need to go on eBay for these. Oh, Kelly Jones original art.
Oh,
the fuck!
Where's that result at? In Amazon? Mind.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on the same page as the Kelly Jones Batman statue?
Yep.
Where the hell are you looking, son? Scroll, oh yeah, there.
Scroll down, dude.
the very end.
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yep. Yeah, see, I don't like this Kelly Jones statue. I want that fucking cover as a statue.
I get it.
This would be like maybe my top 25 that I would want.
Well, that's still pretty good. Top 25.
It is very good. Ooh, Matt Wagner. Hello.
What rabbit hole are you going down now?
The Mag Magnolia.
Yeah, you do.
Why do you do this to me? I can't do this, Nick.
Yes, you can. Santa's right around the corner.
I can't. I need to buy that Batmobile before Ronnie buys it.
Oh, don't do that. Rude. That's horrible. But to be completely frank, why he mentioned that on a podcast?
Right?
Or, I hate to say it, why didn't you write to the person and be like, here's $50 down payment. Can you remove that from your floor?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay you the rest in January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, when I heard that today, I was just like, doing.
That was exactly my thoughts. I'd be like, oh,
no.
Say again.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be funny if you did do that.
No. If he wants it, I'll let him get it.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, it's a Batman the Animated Series.
Why are you bringing it up now? This is...
Listen, I'm not going to say where to get it. It's a Batman the Animated Series. Batmobile scale model signed by Faldini, and I'm not telling you where to get it, dude. Hey,
can I ask you to do something?
Maybe.
Do you have Amazon pulled up?
I do. I always have Amazon pulled up.
Okay, good. Type in three words.
Uh-oh.
Judge Dredd statue.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm. They're a little pricey, but I'm a me.
Which they one am I looking at?
So good. All three of them.
Oh,
they all
nice.
Look so good.
So, all right. So I don't like this, the 12-inch vinyl one.
Well, for me, I don't care for the pop culture shock because it's the movie.
Mm.
I'm not a big movie guy.
Let's see. All right. This is better if I scroll down.
But the number two, the Mike McMahon. Oh, I love how disproportionate like the legs are and the ankle.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, now that I pulled it up, that does look a lot better.
But, oh my God. But I love how all the accessories, the gloves and the boots and the, like, shoulder pad stuff,
mm-hmm.
all of it is so over-exaggerated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty nice, dude. There's another one down here at the bottom.
At the bottom?
That's closer to the movie one, I guess. The 3A 2000 AD 16 scale action figure.
Ooh.
That's pretty sweet, too.
It's so good. Oh, my God. That's one thing that, like, 2000 AD, they don't do well. You know how many of these Judge Dredd vintage covers or any of the 2000 AD? Just put them on T-shirts for me, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I would be rocking that stuff out so hard.
Mm.
Cardboard cutout. Oof.
No, you don't want that.
Ooh. Batman Joker statue by Boland.
Yeah, I saw that. That's on my, it's been in my wish list.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, look at that cat smile.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's the. Did I tell you? Have I ever told you? God.
I fucked up.
What?
I just bought an alien or a predator statue.
Yeah, you did. What one?
It was fucking sweet though. It was cheap.
Let me see it. I'm alien. Putting it in right now.
Alien Predator AVP Elder Predator figure with collector magazine.
Oh my God, that's so much words.
All right, here, I'll paste it into our chat.
Alien Predator. Oh, there it is. Of course, they don't take it, jerk. Oh, Discord. You really fry my bacon.
Mm. There's a few Predator ones that I've been looking at. But
yeah?
I haven't pulled the trigger on them yet.
I didn't know you were such a big Predator, dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a good price, dude.
Right?
Yeah, stuff that in my stocking. Hey, honey.
What should it be like 2 inches tall?
No. Well, it says package dimensions is 8 inches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, package dimensions, 8x6x4.
That's what she said.
Ooh, don't say that. Oh, approximately 6 1/5 size. Yeah, 6 1/5 inches tall.
Well, I think the Predator is like 7 feet tall, right? So that's a pretty big figure, dude. That's like 10 or 11 inches.
That looks really cool. Him holding that mask?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's real sharp. You know what it sort of looks like? It looks like a chess piece.
It does.
Like one of those baller chess pieces.
Baller.
God, I like it. I'm jealous.
Oh, fucking A. Here's another one I want. God damn
yeah,
it.
You need another one.
This looks like a female predator. Huh.
Ooh, even better.
That's weird.
Boy, there's a lot of them. If you scroll down below, holy Christ, there's a lot of predator.
Oh, yeah.
$800? Oof.
No, we're not getting that.
Eagle Moss?
Yep. That's the one that I was looking at. There's one that looks like a female predator from Eagle Moss.
Oh, that's cool.
Number 22.
Number 22, guys. Oh, yeah. It does look like a female. You're right.
Right? But it's not. But it looks like it.
It does. These would be cool chess pieces.
They would.
Resin figure for $39? That ain't bad.
Nope.
Except this one is a hell of a lot smaller.
You know, we never talked about this, but back in the day, I used to collect Alien action figures.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have any of them anymore.
Why?
Just from moving and shit, I just got rid of them.
Oh, you didn't sell them off to send your kids through college?
No, I did not. No, I did not. But yeah, that was back in the day. I miss those. Maybe I'll damn it. But I have so many comics to buy, I can't do that.
You do have a lot of comics to buy. But you're also doing a lot of streaming with your comics, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you look into those, what is that, Mega City books that I told you about?
Yeah, I ordered some on the Amazon.
Yeah.
Yep. And I got, Paul's gonna start reading them too.
Ooh.
Yeah, wow. Buddy.
Now did he watch the 2000 AD?
No, not yet, but I told him about it. He's got Prime, so he's going to check it out.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be good.
We'll get him over reading 90s and below comics. We'll get him there.
He'll start reading good comics one of these days.
Yeah, sooner or later.
Let's wrap this episode up.
Sounds good.
We're at almost 3 hours.
What are you talking about, almost 3 hours? We are at...
2 hours, 47 minutes, and 15 seconds.
3, 4, 5. We're at 5 hours, son.
Oh, well, I'm not counting those. I'm talking about this episode.
Hey, come on. We were doing work.
Quit breaking the fourth wall.
We put on our cool Modi glasses and got to...
They don't need to know that.
Just saying. Other people, you know, they take it lightly. Us? Job, son. We're
the
on
Lord's
our second
work.
Season.
Thanks for tuning in to Season 2, Episode 1 of the flagship Nerdy Legion Podcast.
Season 2 flagship, you're right.
The Season 2 number 1 podcast of Season 2, Episode 1s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that better for you?
All valid.
Okay, good. Nick's at Nick Wetmore, I'm at Geek Vine, and the show is at Nerdy Legion. nerdylegion.gmail.com is the email address. I think I said that wrong, it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? And that's it. We'll be back. Wait, we'll be back next week. Oh, wait, no. Next week, we're not going to be here.
It's going to be... No, of course. It's the holiday week in between Christmas and New Year's.
Next week is...
All podcasters take off that week.
Well, except us.
No, we'll be off.
Well, but we recorded like 12 episodes for next week.
Dude, stop breaking the fourth wall. Then when all of us get inundated with all new Nerdy Legion content... Then they'll figure it all out.
Well, too late. They already know.
Ah!
What they don't know is we're not going to be on the next episode.
Oh, you're ruining it.
But somebody else will be. And they sent me the episodes to listen to, but I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, man.
But I hear
it's... What happened to quality control?
I hear it's a throwback episode.
Ooh.
To the early 80s.
Oh, man. Am I going to be wearing my zipper pants again?
I don't know. You might be.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's it. We're done for 2017. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Season 3, Episode 1.
No, come on. Respect the process, son.
Dude, Season 1 was like, how many years are we doing this? Like 300 years for Season 1.
Right.
We're not going to wait 300 more for Season 3.
Hey, we'll figure that out.
How do you think we're going to get all the iTunes reviews? We got to do like a season every week.
We have this down to a science, dude. got it mathematically figured out. Don't worry about it.
All right. I trust you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.